Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:58 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 30th, and I thought I would start off today looking at Spain because the stock market was up about 2%, and that is now beginning to challenge this downtrend that's been in evidence since May. What we are beginning to see is that there's potentially going to be a relatively peaceful handover that in Spain, that the Catalan crisis may not develop into an armed conflict, which is not beyond the bounds of possibility, considering that if one looks at the history books, Spain is in fact quite a young country when it comes to democratic process, at least. But what we certainly see is that there has been some volatility over the last three sessions, but that the bulls are beginning to be vindicated. And if we take a step back and look at the Euro stocks index, then what we are being presented with is a generally benign environment, and what we're starting to see is that sorry, that's still the I'm actually away from my desk at the present moment, so let me just scroll up there. So I'm working on a slightly different sized screen, but what we can see with the Euro stocks is that it was in positive territory today, but the most important thing it's doing is breaking up and away from what has been a two-year process of consolidation. And the other market that is doing that and doing it in spades is Japan. And the Japanese market is something that has been on the radar now for quite some time, but that it has broken emphatically up and away from this 20,000 level. It's currently trading around 22,000. It was only up very mildly in here today. But I think one of the important points is that if we just simply look at it on a fundamental basis and perhaps concentrate more on the fact that when you think about the valuation, that the price to book on the Nikkei, for example, is 1.88, whereas if we look at the exact same metric for the S&P 500, then it is much closer to 3. It's not quite at 3, but it's really not that far off it either. So then I think that that is something that some people are beginning to pay some attention to, that there has been that the S&P is in fact 3.17. So despite the fact that it is still in a consistent uptrend, there is no doubting that it is no longer considered cheap. That what we are looking at is for the potential here is more likely that we're due some consolidation. The market went to a new high on Friday and was reasserting on the upside. It was a little bit softer in here today. It has paused over the last week. When we look at it over the last year, it is a bit overbought relative to the trend mean. There is the potential that we get a pause of consolidation that could take it down to the 2,500 point level, which would be the first area of potential support if this is to remain a consistent uptrend. The reason that I'm in Las Vegas at the moment was for some meetings with this new venture that that Nevada Trust Company is setting up. But what was particularly interesting from one of the meetings I was at this morning was there were some people from rather large in university endowments that were at the table. And what I can share with you, without naming names, is that they're beginning to think of this market as mature. They're beginning to think of it as something where passive investing is less likely to perform, and that they're moving more towards active managers. And I thought that was a very interesting tidbit, because all that we hear about is how low the VIX index is. And certainly it is still trading around this 10 level. It was down in a dynamic manner on Friday. That is reflective of this automatic buy the dips strategy that has prevailed just about all year. And that is making money for these short volatility strategies. If we look at just, for example, one of those ETFs, well, we can see just how dramatic they have been on the upside. I have also seen these news stories about young people or teenagers making seven figures from shorting volatility. And Generally speaking, when you start to see those kinds of news stories, well, then you have to think that it is what could only be described as a crowded trade. And active management is the kind of management that people tend to favor. Usually it's after you've had a big drawdown. But I think smart money would be looking at active managers when you're beginning to look at a strategy that has done so very well that everybody knows about it, which is to buy ETFs. The contrarian view, and it is only a contrarian view at the moment, would be not to pursue ETFs in the current environment. That there is the potential here that we do get at least some pause in consolidation, but what that could rely, because these volatility measures are so influenced, they are not just beta but high beta plays on the S&P 500 or in other indices, and there is the potential then that you're going to have a much bigger move in volatility for what could in fact be a modest move in terms of stock markets. But that is just a short-term consideration at present. When we look at what is the likelihood there's going to be a recession, I think it's quite low. That there is still potential here that we are at a stage where stocks, at least on Wall Street, are not as cheap as they used to be. They might even be expensive, and that valuation catch-up is more than ample in Europe or in Japan. And that is equally the case in the emerging markets. And they have so much catch-up potential to do that there is, I think, the realistic possibility that we could move into the third psychological perception stage of this expansion, which could be characterized by euphoria and potentially even acceleration. So I think people will be keeping a close eye on companies like Amazon, and not least because it broke so emphatically higher last week. And it held on to that advance in here today. It is just a very emphatic breakout and a massive upward dynamic from this $1,000 level, and it would suggest that there is potential upside here, that this is a reassertion of the medium-term uptrend, which remains reasonably consistent. There is the realistic possibility that we do move into an acceleration phase. And I don't think that that is something that many people have been willing to countenance. That there was someone else at one of these meetings that saying that from another university saying that their investment committee was still stuck in 2009 and that they had the bulk of their endowment in cash. And that was something that they were trying to change, but that it was a very prolonged process. And what that also tells us is that there is still a hangover. There is still that some people are on the sidelines in cash. They have not yet been encouraged back into this market. And perhaps if they do in fact change their minds over the next 6 months, that will be further evidence that we are entering the period of time where the least sophisticated money is coming back into the market, and usually then that is also a harbinger of a potential problem down the line. So we know that this is an increasingly mature bull market, but it is a bull market that is not over. And then there is potential here for additional upside. Now, I think it is also worth paying attention to what's happening in the bond markets. And the 10-year future was moving in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. And it has fallen from almost 128 to 124 over the last 2 months. And now we have found at least short-term support. This is going to be a big week in terms of the news flow. There is going to be the announcement of who is going to be the next Fed chair. And I think that that is at least part of the reason that we're getting at least some steadying here. But the most important point is that the progression of higher reaction lows that has been in evidence since the beginning of this year has been broken. There is the potential here that we get some pause and that it could unwind the overextension relative to the trend mean, but that a sustained move above that moving average would be required to question that we're not now in a a supply-dominated environment. And that is also in keeping with the potential that we are moving into a more inflation-driven cycle. And I think if we simply Just think about it in very rational terms. In if we go back and look at history, and over the course of not just years but decades and centuries, one of the easiest ways, one of the most reliable ways that governments have handled their debt problems is with inflation. They pursue inflation actively. That's exactly what Japan is doing in spades. They are pursuing very accommodative both monetary and fiscal policies, and that's likely to continue for the foreseeable future. And if Japan is breaking on the upside, one I wonder, is that not indicative of the fact that we are beginning to move into a more inflationary cycle? And if we look at the 2-year yield, it is a little bit overbought in the short term, so we could get some pause and consolidation, which would allow that overextension relative to the trend mean to close. But if we look at it over the last 4 or 5 years, then the clear trend is upwards, and that the most likely scenario is that we're going to get some additional upside coming out of this market. Now, what I thought was also interesting was that there were some people from Texas at this meeting, and what they had to say about the oil price. And somebody from Midland, Texas, was saying that the well that used to cost $12 million 3 years ago costs $6 million today because of the squeeze that has been put on the services sector, and that conventional wells are economic at $30 a barrel in his region, in the Permian Basin, and that unconventional wells are that it isn't a it isn't whitewatered, that you have some people that are making money at current levels, others they need $65 a barrel. So we know that we're getting into economic territory for almost all of the producers in the Permian Basin, and that the people who are really making money there are the people selling leases, because they're getting $30,000 an acre. When you have that, there's such a wall of private equity money flowing around that market, then interest rates are eventually going to play a role in the energy markets. And I think that is something that is certainly worth paying attention to, that interest rates could have an outsized impact on the energy price if it is going to affect the ability of companies to pay these very high leases for properties. Now, what we can still see is that Brent crude has held the move above $60. It's really it is looking clearly like a breakout, and that there is potential for additional upside here, and a clear downward dynamic would be required to check that potential. Think it is also worth just keeping an eye on the natural gas price for perhaps little other reason than there aren't many people talking about it. But when we look at the natural gas price, it has been ranging for such an awfully long time, and it has been particularly inert for much of the last few months. So I think then if that's the case, we know that ranges are explosions waiting to happen, and that we had a major contract change over the last couple of days. That big pop on the upside with that big drawdown on Friday is a contract change. And very often we see, in particularly in the natural gas markets, that trends change on the contract change. So I think that this is potentially now a market that has got potential for additional upside here. So, for example, if we look at the most are the most are the excuse me the on the run contract, then we can see that it pulled back really very sharply over the last 5 sessions and found at least some support in here today. And sugar prices, because of their role in ethanol, are also doing better in here. And I'm sorry, I clicked on the wrong chart, but sugar prices have been falling for most of the last 6 months, but they have at least stopped falling, and now we're starting to see at least some evidence of a demand returning to dominance in here, and that is relatively positive as well. And I think that if the LME go ahead and and create a new nickel contract, then that is going to that individual contract, which will be focused almost exclusively on the battery market, is likely to represent a supply inelasticity meets rising demand market. I posted a report from Vale. I'll have to find the date, and I'll post a link to it today in comment of the day. But what we definitely see here is that nickel underperformed and underperformed by a pretty significant margin for much of the last 2 years, and it is now really just beginning to demonstrate a return to demand dominance. And I think that is something that is worth paying attention to, because it is one of the few industrial metals that has not rallied in a dynamic manner. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.